Councillor Cathy Madley, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Kelvin Torrey.
Thank you, councillors. Ladies and gentlemen, please remain standing for the opening prayer and reconciliation statement. Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing upon this council. Direct and prosper its deliberations to the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people whom we serve. Amen. The reconciliation statement declares that Melton City Council acknowledges that the land it now occupies has a history that began with the Indigenous occupants, the Kulin Nation. Council pays its respects to the Kulin Nation people and their elders and descendants past and present. Thank you, councillors, council staff and members of the gallery. You may be seated. Councillors, I draw your attention to agenda number two, apologies and leave of absence.
Madam Mayor, this evening we have apologies from Councillors Ramsey and Cugliari.
Thank you, Mr. Torrey. Item number three, changes to the order of business.
There are no changes to the order of business, Madam Mayor.
Item number four, deputations.
There are no deputations either, Madam Mayor.
Item number five, declaration of any pecuniary interest, other interest or conflict of interest of any councillor.
Madam Mayor, I do wish to declare a direct interest or direct conflict of interest myself in item 19.3 of tonight's agenda, which is consideration of my employment contract. And I also wish to draw to your attention that Council has received this evening some public questions in relation to the Vodafone Tower at Brookside Recreation Reserve, a matter in which you declared an indirect interest at the last Council meeting. So I draw that to your attention because it's not in the printed agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Torrey, and councillors and members of the gallery. I do want to reaffirm my indirect interest in continuing in this matter, and I therefore make such a declaration, and I will remove myself from chamber once these particular questions come to the conversation. Item number six, adoption and confirmation of minutes of previous meeting, and we have a recommendation here. Would a councillor like to move the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the recommendation that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held on the 4th of April 2016 and special meeting of council held on the 18th of April 2016 be confirmed as a true and correct record.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Does any other councillor require any further clarification? Do I have a councillor to second the notice of motion?
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose? I therefore declare the motion carried. Item number seven, record of assembly of councillors, and we have another recommendation here. Thank you, Councillor Dunn.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the recommendation that the record of assembly of councillors dated 11th of April, 18th of April and 26th of April 2016 attached to the agenda be received and noted.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Do I have a councillor to second the motion?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Does any councillor oppose the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Item number eight, correspondence inward, 8.1, parliamentarian and departmental letters received by the Mayor. We do actually have a letter here from the Honourable Natalie Hutchins, MP, Minister for Local Government, Minister for Aboriginal Affairs and Minister for Industrial Relations. And I'll just highlight some of the comments that were made here by the Honourable Natalie Hutchins. And the letter is in regards to electoral representation review for Melton City Council. And it states that I refer, which is Natalie Hutchins, Minister, I refer to the recent independent electoral representation review of the Melton City Council conducted by the Victorian Electoral Commission, or VEC. After completing the process required by the Act, the VEC has recommended that the council consist of nine councillors as elected from three wards, one comprising four councillors, one comprising three councillors and one comprising two councillors, with changes to the boundaries of existing wards. The new electoral structure will apply from the 2016 general elections. In accepting the Commission's recommendations, I am satisfied that your council's electoral structure and councillor numbers will continue to provide fair and equitable representation to the municipality's voters. The review considered the community's views by conducting two rounds of public consultation in the municipality. Yours sincerely, Honourable Natalie Hutchins, Minister for Local Government. And we do have a recommendation here, councillors. If a councillor could move the recommendation. Councillors?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the recommendation.
Thank you. The recommendation reads that the parliamentarian and departmental letters received by the Mayor be received and noted. Moved by Councillor Dunn. Do I have a seconder? Sorry, Councillor Carley. Apologies. Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I declare the motion carried. Item number 9, petitions and joint letters. Do we have any, Mr. Tory?
We have not received any at the office, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Tory, and I'll now hand it over. Oh, sorry. Item number 10, resumption of debate or other business carried over from a previous meeting. Item 10.1, significant landscape strategy, and this is presented by Ms. Laura Jo Mellon, Manager, City Design Strategy and Environment. Thank you, Ms. Mellon.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The purpose of this report is for Council to consider the significant landscape strategy and the initiation of a planning scheme amendment to introduce a local planning policy, landscape management guidelines and an updated significant landscape overlay into the Melton planning scheme. The Western Plains North Green Wedge Management Plan was adopted by Council in September 2014 and identified the need for greater protection of our rural landscapes. A key action, E8A1, of the Green Wedge Management Plan was to undertake a significant landscape strategy for the municipality. Council engaged consultants in October 2014 to undertake the preparation of this strategy, and the project was undertaken in four stages and involved the identification of character areas and significant landscape features based on an assessment of aesthetic, environmental, social and other values. Melton Landscapes, the significant landscape strategy, is contained in full at Appendix 1, but in summary the strategy seeks to identify landscape character areas, in particular two categories affecting the city of Melton, which are the western volcanic plains covering the majority of the municipality and the uplands located to the north in the Tulern Hills area. It determines significant landscapes within these character areas, which contribute significantly to landscape character. These are forested areas, volcanic cones, and hills and waterways. The document also contains landscape management guidelines, which include preferred design outcomes to do with the siting of built form and development within the significant landscape overlay and within significant landscape areas, and it recommends required changes to planning controls and details for a local planning policy. A series of consultation methods were used to engage the community, including a Facebook page which had a photograph competition, Council's website, adverts in local media, postcards for general promotion at Council's community and civic facilities, direct notification to landowners who, through the Green Wedge Management Plan, put their name on the register to be kept informed on any developments in that area, community drop-in sessions in three locations which were advertised in local media and on Council's website, and details of this are included in Section 5 of the report and detailed in Chapter 2 of the strategy. The draft strategy document was released for public comment for 5 weeks, from the 21st of August to the 18th of September 2015, and over this period the document was advertised in both local media and through Council's website, with copies of the strategy made available for download from the dedicated project webpage and also copies at the desk at the Civic Centre and Caroline Springs Library. We received a total of 12 written submissions on the draft document, and Council met with a number of the submitters to discuss the content of their submission on request. Details of these submissions and Council's response are detailed in Section 5 and Appendix 2 of this report. The report also outlines the details of a proposed amendment to the planning scheme to implement a key recommendation from the Significant Landscape Strategy, which is to improve the protection of the volcanic cones at Mount Cororoy, Mount Cottrell and Mount Atkinson, through the revision of the existing significant landscape overlay, including a reference to the landscape management guidelines contained within the document and the provision of a new local planning policy to provide direction for development which may impact on the landscape character of the municipality. The amendment will be exhibited through a normal statutory planning scheme amendment process, including notices in local papers, the Government Gazette, on the Department of Environment, Land, Water and Planning, and also Council's websites. And in addition, letters will be sent to all landowners directly affected by the proposed changes, including landholders within the significant landscape overlay Schedule 1. If Council choose not to adopt the Melton landscapes or request to authorise and exhibit the amendment, it would prevent a key priority from the adopted Western Plains North Green Wedge Management Plan from being implemented and will result in a lack of clear policy direction to facilitate appropriate development in key landscape areas. It is therefore recommended that Council adopts Melton Landscapes, the significant landscape strategy as contained at Appendix 1, seeks authorisation to prepare Planning Scheme Amendment C173 from the Minister for Planning, and upon receipt of authorisation, exhibit the amendment in accordance with the Planning and Environment Act 1987. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Millen. Does any councillor require any further clarification or any questions in regards to this item? I do have one question, Ms. Millen, in regards to some residents being asking the question, does this have to do with native vegetation per se and the requirements around native vegetation. Do you have any comments in regards to clarifying whether this document has got to do with native vegetation?
Through you, Madam Mayor. The document refers to native vegetation as it's a key element of the landscape, particularly the grasslands that are within the landscape. However, it doesn't propose any additional mechanisms through the planning scheme to protect that native vegetation. It's already adequately covered by the planning scheme.
Okay. Any other questions, councillors? I would like to rise and move that Council adopt Melton Landscapes, the significant landscape strategy, as the significant landscape features strategy, and also adopt items 2 and 3 as printed. Councillors, do I have a seconder? A council to second?
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Councillors, moving on to public question time. I'll hand this over to Mr. Tory.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We have a number of public questions this evening. First question is from Anne Fairweather. And unfortunately, Anne's not in the gallery, or doesn't appear to be. No, she's not raising her hand. So, question in relation to opening of Loaming Ride. So that will be answered in writing in accordance with the local law. Second question is from Alan Fairweather, and Mr. Fairweather is in the gallery. So his question reads, why wasn't the HIDA report for the Kurrenjang area implemented, or does Council like paying for consultants' fees and wasting ratepayers' money and residents' time on committees for no achievement? Mr. Peter Bean will respond.
Thanks for the question, Alan. Look, the HIDA report was presented to Council at an ordinary meeting held in 2001. The works were estimated at $1.8 million at that time, and Council would have had to consider the budget and delivery of a number of competing projects and priorities of what projects would get funded. The other element in the HIDA report, if we reflect forward, was that one element of it was that the land was to open onto Kirkton Drive, which the land that was in question has subsequently been built out and developed. So it sort of ruins the whole flow of what the HIDA report was about. Thank you.
Next question is also from Mr. Fairweather. And he asks, are council determinations, that's resolutions of council or motions carried, a binding decision? If not, under what circumstances can they be changed? And Mr. Luke Shannon will respond.
Thank you, Alan, for your question. In situations where council makes or passes a resolution on a particular matter and that is actioned, then council is not in a position to reverse that. So, for example, if council resolved to issue a permit for something and then that subsequently happens, then council can't rescind that. Council can, however, as it sees fit from time to time, reverse a policy position on any particular matter, and that does happen, as you will note, from time to time. Thank you.
The next question is from Paul Williams. Is Mr. Williams in the gallery? This was in relation to a permit matter, and I believe the permit was issued subsequent to him submitting the question, so I presume that's, but a written response will be made. Next question is from Mr. David O'Connor. Mr. O'Connor is in the gallery. Question reads, in February 2016, Council successfully hosted a barbecue in Diggers Rest where an estimated 60 young people were in attendance. As part of the My City, My Say Conversation Expo, an additional barbecue was held on Saturday, April the 30th, which has also generated positive feedback. With respect to Youth Week celebrations, what was the overall participation by young people in Diggers Rest, and how many young people from Diggers Rest are expected to participate in the Youth Advisory Committee Youth Awards this year? Murray Heaney to respond.
Thank you, Mr. O'Connor, for your question. In relation to the events that was conducted as part of the Youth Week celebrations, there were two. There was a cultural barbecue held at the youth facility, and that was in the Melton Township. And there was also a basketball tournament, I believe, that was held in Caroline Springs at the Leisure Centre. The events were advertised, and they were via flyers in Diggers Rest, and they were also advertised on Council's Facebook page. The question about how many attended as far as young people at that, our belief is we cannot track any attendance from Diggers Rest young people at those events, so that's something we need to follow up about our promotional campaigns. In relation to the Yak Awards, they're yet to occur, so discussions are happening at the minute with our youth services team about the date that they will occur and the activation and who will attend those at any such time. Thanks, David, and thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Next question, we're now to the questions that are in relation to the Vodafone Tower, and the Mayor has declared a interest, therefore...
I will be removing myself from chamber. Thank you.
Thank you. The question, the first of these questions, is from Seamus Ryan. Mr. Ryan is in the gallery. He asks, as per Vodafone's application for a planning permit to build a mobile phone tower at Brookside Recreation last year, Section 3.1 site selection, can Council confirm, one, they were present at a meeting back in 2012, with Daly International representing Vodafone, the DSE, Department of Sustainability and Environment. Two, if so, were minutes taken in relation to this meeting? Three, can minutes of the meeting be made available to me in follow-up correspondence? Please note this was requested from your office on 6th of April and have not yet had a response. This will be responded to by Mr. Peter Bean.
Thanks for that, Seamus. Pardon me. In the limited time available to investigate the matter, Council's planners cannot confirm attending such a meeting in 2012 and as such locate any minutes of the meeting. We will continue to investigate that to see whether there are any. I just would also like to note, we were unable to establish receipt of your request on the 6th of April, so again, I'll just follow that through as well to ensure that something hasn't happened or gone amiss in that regard. So I'll certainly follow that up and put what I can in writing to you.
Second question from Mr. Ryan, which says, considering it is not on tonight's agenda, can Council confirm if they have written to and engaged with Vodafone in relation to the mobile phone tower relocation options of Brookside Recreation Reserve in Caroline Springs? If so, what was the outcome of this meeting? I can confirm that a meeting is scheduled for the 13th of May, and I and Council's planning and legal representatives will be in attendance at that meeting at Vodafone's offices. The next question is from Devanand Bowen, is Mr. or Miss Bowan, they in attendance? Again, in accordance with the local law, a written response will be provided to their questions, which essentially were copies of, or similar in nature to, Mr. Ryan's questions. Thank you, Councillor Turner. Thank you. Madam Mayor, I've just drawn your attention. There is one remaining question that was behind the Vodafone question, so can I... it's all right. It's not one you have an interest in. This is another matter.
And can I just thank Councillor Turner for taking the chair as well?
Thank you. This question is from David O'Connor. The question reads, in accordance with Council's response to public questions at the October 21st, 2014 meeting, Council advised that interim works regarding the intersection at Welcome Road and Diggers Rest Comida Road had been added to Council's capital works program. These works, according to the response, a copy of the response was provided, were to be considered for funding as part of the 2015-16 budget deliberations. The state government has recently increased train services to Sunbury, and the growing popularity at Diggers Rest in general has increased traffic volume at this interchange during peak times. Given the issues with the interchange as identified within the local area traffic management study, what is the current status with respect to the interim works proposed? Peter Bean will respond.
That's a quite straightforward one, David. Look, the Welcome Road interim closure left in and out is currently programmed for construction this 2017-2018 financial year. Thank you.
That does conclude public questions, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. Councillors, moving on to agenda number 12, presentation of staff reports, and we have 12.1, authorisation of affixing the common seal of council. Councillor Turner.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move, as put in block, items 12.1, 12.3, 12.9 and 12.11.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillor Turner has put forward that Council move in block as per recommended in the officers' reports of 12.1, 12.3, 12.9 and 12.10. Does any Councillor require any clarification in regards to these items? Does any Councillor second the motion?
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Item number 12.2, petition, reopening of Thrice Lane, Currajang to through traffic, and this will be presented by Mr. Voltaire David, Acting Manager, Engineering Services.
Madam Mayor, can I ask that this item be left on the table for a month so that councillors can be fully briefed on this matter and all the options for the opening or otherwise of Woman Ride.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. I have requested a notice of motion from Councillor Turner that this notice of motion be lay on the table for an extra month. Do I have any councillor to second that?
I will second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Councillors, moving on to agenda item 12.4, Local Government Electoral Regulations 2016 Proposed Changes, and this is to be presented by Mr. Luke Shannon, General Manager for Corporate Services. Thank you, Mr. Shannon.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report relates to the proposed changes to the Local Government Electoral Regulations 2016. Following the 2012 council elections, the state government established the Local Government Electoral Review Panel, to examine a number of issues affecting local government elections. The panel released a report in January containing a range of recommendations focused on the electoral process, voter participation and the integrity of local government elections generally. The recommendations of the panel are reproduced for council on at appendix number one. The state government is seeking feedback on the proposed changes by Friday the 6th of May, in other words this Friday. A draft submission has been prepared for council's consideration and that is attached as appendix number two, and I'll just provide Madam Mayor the highlights of our proposed submission. In summary, the proposed submission seeks to raise concerns in relation to three specific elements of the proposed changes, namely, firstly, the first proposition that candidates' indication of preferences to no longer be included in the postal ballot packs sent to voters at postal elections. Madam Mayor, you'll note that the draft submission raises concerns regarding that possible introduction, as this, in our view, would reduce information available to voters and thus result in reduced transparency. Additionally, it would also add additional costs to candidates and thus potentially reduce the level of participation in the election process. The second proposition put forward by the committee is that candidates answer a series of questions regarding their capacity to be a councillor. Again, the draft submission raises concerns that this process will not allow for a fair and objective comparison of candidates and that there is no capacity in that process to examine the veracity of candidate statements. Our draft submission does, however, support the increase of the statements allowed from 150 words to 200 words. And lastly, the third proposition put forward by the committee is that votes cast by postal and attendance elections be received up to 9 days following the election day. Madam Mayor, the draft submission suggests that votes should be received by the close of business the Friday following the election day, so in other words, 5 working days after the election. So, Madam Mayor, the draft submission as attached as appendix number two is presented to Council for consideration and adoption. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Does any councillor require any further clarification? Mr. Shannon, I have a question in regards to the last point that you made. The state government's proposing that it be extended to 9 days after the election closes. Is this 9 business days?
Through Madam Mayor, as I understand, it's 9 business days, whereas our proposed submission suggests 5 business days.
In other words, the election is on, say, it's on a Saturday, and that will then hold off, the results will hold off an extra 5 business days. And what is if one of the candidates was to ask for a recount? How would that process take place? And also, who would be elected members during this time?
Through you, Madam Mayor, I might ask Mr. Torrey to respond to that component, please.
Thank you. Madam Mayor, what would happen in the event of a recount is that the normal procedure for a recount would occur. Notice would be given to the candidates to enable their scrutineers to attend the recount. And normally a recount extends the declaration period for 2 to 3 days. And that would be 2 to 3 business days. So if the call for a recount occurred on the Friday following the election, most probably it would be the middle of the following week before it was declared. The simple fact of the matter would be that technically once the poll is declared in other wards than where the recount is, if the poll was declared, those elected could be sworn in and could then act as councillors, but where the matter was under review, that could not occur. So there would be some councillors at that point in time who were able to act, but not all councillors.
Sure. Councillors, I would like to rise and move this notice of motion. However, I don't personally agree that 5 days, that we should wait an extra 5 days. I'm happy to extend that to 3 days, so I'm not entirely sure how that notice of motion would be worded.
Just move, if you move
with the amendment of...
Okay, so I'd like to move the recommendation with the amendment that on proposal number 3, instead of it being 5 days, that council agrees of extending that to an extra 3 days to allow postal votes to come through the system. Councillors, is any councillor requires any clarification in regards to the amendment? Does any councillor second the amendment to the notice of motion?
I'd like a question, though, before sure. Second amendment. The 3 days, is that 3 extra days or only 3 days instead of the 5 that we had originally had?
So 3 business days instead of the 5 proposed that are in proposal number 3.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Happy to second that.
Thank you. Does any councillor oppose the amended notice of motion? We go into debate. I would like to reserve my right of reply and I'll hand it over to Councillor Bentley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm opposed to this motion on the grounds that we are objecting to Proposal 1. I believe Council should be supporting the propositions that candidate indications of preferences no longer be included in the postal ballot papers. I refer councillors to page 203 of the agenda. I do not believe that we should be supporting the preferences being enclosed in the ballot packs going out for several reasons. First of all, the fact that our jurisdiction in Victoria is the only jurisdiction who is undertaking this. I understand that we live in the great state of Victoria and it doesn't mean that because somebody else is doing something we should do it. But if every other state and territory in this country is adopting a position that they, for council elections, they do not provide this information, I think we should be seriously looking at that and considering it, why they are doing it and we are not. The second point is that if we look at our state and federal counterparts, neither of those jurisdictions provide any sort of how to vote through the VEC or the AEC. It is not their responsibility to do it. If a candidate decides to provide this information to the electorate, it is their responsibility to do it. It is not the job of the impartial body to do it for candidates. And I refer them, it's mentioned in there on page 203 with respect to that. The VEC is not a body that should be pushing candidates' preferences. They are not here to do our job for us. They are there simply to administer the election. And therefore, I have concerns with our draft response in that it reduces transparency. I do not see how it reduces transparency in that we still, candidates are provided with a huge amount of information as to why people should vote for them. Not vote for everybody else, but to vote for them. And as a barrier to entry, if a candidate wants to tell the electorate how to vote from 1 to 10 or how many are on there, I think a candidate should be aiming to get as many number ones, not telling people who to vote for number 2, or 3 or 4 for that matter. It should be, if a candidate is there, they should be aiming for as many number ones, not pointing out who should be 2, 3 and 4.
Just wary of the time, Councillor Bentley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. There was a final point I believe I had to make, but I believe I am satisfied with that.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Mayor. Would anyone like to speak for the notice of motion? Councillor Turner.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to speak in support of the notice of motion. I just feel that adding cost to anyone that has to stand in an election, wishes to stand in an election, I should say, we should make it as easy as possible. And this is just one way to make it easier for a normal member of the public to have their say and to put the preferences out there with people they may support or may support them. And it's just less expensive for them to do it. It's hard enough if the costs are there, 250, whatever the cost is this time round, but having to for some people who just can't afford to go that next step, it's just a safety guard that they can put out their information as well.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Does any other councillor wish to speak? Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I will speak for it. I don't have an issue with any candidates putting the preferences in to the VEC when the ballots go out. I mean, at the end of the day, in 2012, if candidates didn't want to put their preferences in, they had the choice not to, which many did. So I believe that if you want to, you will. If you don't, you don't.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Any other councillor wish to speak? I do believe I have the last reply, being that I move the notice of motion. I also agree that as the recommendation on the proposal is here, that candidates, although I didn't make the amendment for the candidates, the part of the candidates being put on the ballot papers, however, I also agree that candidates should have that opportunity to put their preferences on the VEC ballot papers. Councillor Bentley mentioned that it's not VEC's responsibility, but then that could also be argued that it may not be the responsibility of VEC to have the 150 to 200 word statement. We see that that's not done in any other level of government, either state or federal. So they've made obviously some amendments there, and I believe that. You know, comparing ourselves to other states is also a bit risky. I know that many other states directly elect their mayor, and we see how that's gone in Geelong. It hasn't gone too well. So I think comparing ourselves to other states may be a little bit also risky, and why can't we be different? I don't believe we have to be like every other state. I agree on the basis that Councillor Turner said for those truly independent councillors that don't have a lot of money to go out to the public and have a huge campaign or don't have necessarily someone to back them up, I think this is a good way for it to be fair and equitable, and also the cheapest way for some members of the community who may not have a big outlay or may not be able to afford to go full out with the election. In regards to the 3 days, which is kind of where the amendment was made, I do believe if residents want their votes to be counted, they will make sure that they post it nice and early to make sure that Australia Post will get it there on time. So therefore, that's why I changed it. I believe that it should be from 3 days, and certainly not five, and certainly not nine. That being said, councillors, all those in favour of the amended notice of motion, please raise your hand. All those against? I declare the motion carried, and I'd like to ask for a division. So all those in favour, Councillor Turner, Councillor Carley, Councillor Madelick, all those against, Councillor Dunn, Councillor Bentley. And I declare the motion with the amendment carried. Thank you, councillors. Drawing your attention to 12.5, Council Annual Action Plan Third Quarter Progress Report, and this will be presented by Mr. Maurie Heaney, General Manager for Community Services. Thank you, Mr. Heaney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report is presented four times a year. It's a report on our actions related to the third quarter, and this relates to January to March this year. It is a requirement that we develop the action plan. The action plan has 147 in total commitments, I suppose, if you like, that Council's committed to deliver. Council provides the community with a quarterly update, and that's the purpose of this evening. And it supports Council's commitment in providing transparency through public access and relevant information. And, of course, decision-making and strategic documents. Without going much further, Madam Mayor, there's a few highlights on page 213. The table at the top of the page probably tells the story of where we sit for the third quarter. And some of the highlights in there are the duplication of the Melton Rail Line and identified the priority project for the National Growth Areas Alliance, and that's the major campaign that is happening at the moment. Obviously, the Fund Our Future campaign, there's been many releases of that out in the city at the moment and other cities around Australia. Obviously, the transformation of the pop-up park at the corner of Palmerston and Mackenzie Streets was a major initiative and has now been removed due to redevelopment. In summary, councillors, the table, as I said, tells a story. There's 28 achieved. We believe there's 114 on track. There are five with, from the officer's point of view, believe that they're somewhat behind. That doesn't mean they're overdue. We still have to the end of June this year to complete those five. And just to give you identification of what they are, it's around a telecommunications strategy. It was subject of a notice of motion some time ago, an urban design strategy, a signage strategy, a street tree strategy policy, and a risk management strategy. Now, saying that, this goes back to earlier this year. There's been a lot of progress completed on those projects to date, and we still believe that the majority of those will be on target by the end of June this year. So really, Madam Mayor, the appended document is the table, the traffic light process. It tells you where we are. We believe we're tracking fairly well. Really, tonight is that Council receive and note the 15-16 Action Plan third quarter report from January to March 2016 and the progress report as presented in that attached document, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any councillor require any further clarification or any questions in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to move this notice of motion?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have a councillor to second the notice of motion?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried and commend the officers as well in regards to all the works being done on time. 12.6 Council Plan 2013-2017 Review, and this will also be presented by Mr. Murray Heaney, General Manager for Community Services. Thank you, Mr. Heaney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, again. And the subject of this report is the Council Plan, is the main document, and the Strategic Resource Plan is appended document number 2. But as prescribed by the Local Government Act 1989, Council is required to consider its Council Plan annually. The Act also requires that the Council must review the Strategic Resource Plan during the preparation of the Council Plan and adopt a Strategic Resource Plan no later than 30th of June each year. In relation to the Council Plan, there has been some amendments to that, and the review found that all the strategic objectives and strategies express Council's direction, but some of the strategic performance indicators required some updating to ensure that they were better matched with the data sources that we have now and our reporting requirements. Saying that, I'll go straight to page 248, which is part of this report, and it refers to a table. A lot of it is wording only, so some of it is a tweak of wording in the objectives, and it gives you an indication, and there's some, it's around about 23 that we have adjusted for consideration and consultation, and it shows you the existing indicators in the Council Plan as they were set some time ago, and it's showing you what we believe are the proposed indicators for the 30th of June 2016. A subject to Council's comfort this evening, it's planned that we go to public consultation, of course, as we're required to do so with the Council Plan, and seek feedback from the community. The Strategic Resource Plan is part of this report also, councillors, and is attached, as I said earlier, on Appendix 2, which is page 309. It's a fairly thick document. We're required to submit this. It talks about our financials and where we are to date. It also talks about our resourcing from now and into the future. Our capital works program, which is highlighted in part of that document. And page 316, which I'll just go to, councillors, gives you an indication of our borrowings. As I said, our cost to the organisation, so our financials related to our service delivery, our resources, our capital works plan, again, is referenced in this document, and where we sit financially to date. It is a fairly hefty document. The officers are comfortable to put that up this evening for Council's consideration. And the report, Madam Mayor and the councillors, is that obviously we endorse the revised Council Plan as referred to in Appendix 1. for 28 days of public's exhibition commencing the 3rd of May, if endorsed, and endorse a revised strategic resource plan as appended in Document 2 as part of the 16-17 budget process, which Council will hear about in the next report, I believe. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr Heaney. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to move the item?
Happy to move it, Madam Mayor, and in doing so, thank the officers and staff for all the work that's gone into this. It's a huge document and takes a lot of work. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a councillor to second the motion?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Item number 12.7, preparation of the Municipal Budget 2016-2017, presented by Mr Luke Shannon, General Manager for Corporate Services. Thank you, Mr Shannon.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm pleased to present to Council the draft budget for the 2016-17 financial year, and if I can refer councillors to Appendix number 1, a full copy of the budget document is included in your papers. The draft budget has been prepared to deliver on the objectives of the Council plan and takes account of Council's strategic resource plan, which was referred to in the previous item. The input of the overall community has been considered in the preparation of the draft budget. Councillors will recall that most recently two community engagement sessions took place in early February of this year, which sought to provide the opportunity for community input into the budget process. Both sessions were well attended by individuals and representatives of community groups and sporting clubs. Madam Mayor, notable elements of the proposed budget which are detailed in the officer's report include a number of items, which I'll summarise. A proposed average rate increase of 2.5%. Councillors will be aware that this is consistent with the rate capping system recently introduced by the state government under the Fair Go rate system. $6.91 million in net loan repayments. A $70 pensioner rebate to eligible property owners. $50.7 million in capital works delivery, which includes approximately $35 million of new works. And if I can refer councillors to page 329 of the Council agenda, that provides a summary of the key capital works proposed for the forthcoming year. And it's also proposed to retain the existing environmental enhancement program along with the delivery of the significant range of services Council currently undertakes. Madam Mayor, despite the pressures associated with being in a relatively strong growth environment, which the City of Melton continues to be, and the constraints of rate capping, Council remains, through prudent financial management, in a sound financial position. Council's financial position has been supported particularly through a number of factors. Firstly, a range of successful funding applications that Council has successfully made over the last 12 months through both the state and federal government. Council will recall receiving around about $6.3 million from the state government through a program known as the Interface Growth Fund. And that's provided significant funding towards a number of projects, including the Pride of Melton, the Atherston Regional Play Space, the redevelopment of Council's aged care precinct at 5 Mackenzie Street in Melton, and the upgrade of the Fraser Street Reserve. Further, Council has also relatively recently received $5.5 million of funding from the federal government through the National Stronger Regions Fund, and that was to further contribute to the Pride of Melton project, which will renew the streetscape of a significant portion of the Melton Town Centre. The other significant factor in the forthcoming year, Madam Mayor, is the revenues projected to be received from the Toolan Joint Venture project, known as the Atherston Estate, which is located in Melton South. Madam Mayor, the next phase of the process, given this is a draft budget, is proposed to be placed on formal public exhibition, which the community will obviously be invited to make written submissions. A Section 223 Committee of Council will provide the opportunity for those making a written submission to make a further supporting verbal presentation to a meeting of the committee scheduled for the 7th of June. The committee in turn will then make a recommendation to Council regarding a final budget at the ordinary meeting of Council scheduled for the 27th of June. So accordingly, Madam Mayor, I commend to Council a draft budget and recommend that it proceed now to the formal public exhibition phase. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr Shannon. Does any councillor require any clarification in regards to this item? I'd actually like to move this item, and I'd like to thank everyone who was involved in the 2016-17 council draft budget, including all the councillors, council staff, executive, but especially the community and the residents. It is a conservative and fair budget, and it's also well constructed and well planned. Over the years, this council has engaged more with our residents when it comes to budget, making sure that we have plenty of time for our community members to make comment on the budget. I believe this draft budget is a responsible one, taking into consideration the many factors that this council is facing in regards to its environment. And the major capital works program on page 328 is in the vicinity of $50 million, including important infrastructure such as community buildings, road infrastructure, bridge works and much more. I encourage all the residents to have a look at the draft budget and please make comment, as your feedback is greatly appreciated and very important. Thank you, councillors. Do I have a councillor to second this notice of motion?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to second that, and may I say a few words?
Absolutely.
Madam Mayor, I think this is the first year that you would know that I have actually agreed with this budget, and I think it's my fellow councillors have heard me since I've been on this council since 2012 talking about rate capping. So I can say that I'm very pleased to see that it's a 2.5% increase with the rates capped. And I concur with everything that you've said. It is a responsible budget, and I look forward to hearing what our residents have to say.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Councillors, moving to agenda item 12.8, increasing access and activity at the Willows Historical Park, and this will be presented by Mr. Murray Heaney, General Manager for Community Services. Thank you, Mr. Heaney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report is subject to a notice of motion that raised some time ago by Councillor Dunn about further activating the Willows Park site, preferably and the facilities, I suppose, and it's been somewhat challenging for the officers to come up with recommendations, but I'm happy to put a number of recommendations to you later. And the reason it has been challenging to us is that we have existing users that utilise the Willows. The Willows is a fantastic area, fantastic park, and even better facilities within it. I'd like to say, though, even without knowing that, I believe the council has further activated the Willows Park in the past 3 to 4 years, only thinking about this today. Although not in the report, the council's been very supportive of the men's shed that's in the Willows, and I think that's a great credit to the council, and even again, the activation of the cottage with the Vietnam vets now having their home in there for long term. So you could argue, or not argue, I think it's firm to say that council's been very committed to activating the space. The park, saying that though, has a number of uses at the moment. We have the facilities, we have the green space, and we have the homestead itself. The homestead is run by the Historical Society and isn't open that much. The current agreement is up for review with that society, and officers will be working with that group to try and get further activation and get that homestead open so the community can basically see what's in there. The plans are that ideally, we will use our volunteer resource base to help them do that. And at the same time, the goal is to have a resource within the council that will support the promotion of the park and the homestead itself and everything else that goes with that. There has been a fair amount of engagement with the users of the park, and the users of the park is including the vets, the men's shed, the society itself, and some engagement with the community itself on Australia Day. So we believe there's an opportunity to trial the opening of the park. We're proposing at the moment that trial will be around the hours of 9 to 9, that we are proposing that the trial will be basically on weekends. And at the same time, I suppose I'll just read the recommendations. It'll be a bit clearer to you at that point. Is obviously to do that, we need to work with the Historical Society to increase the access to the homestead itself and support them. We will provide public access. So we're saying that we'll open the gates to the park for the community to access the space on weekends for a trial of 1 year. We're seeking that council endorse the opening hours of Willows Historical Park on weekends to vary between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. And that will be, of course, subject to daylight saving hours and user agreements. And we'll honour what user agreements are in place with those community members, councillors. And there's one user agreement that's in place, I think, to the end of December this year. So we're already talking to those groups. And the main focus is to activate the park, is to try and get better usage, but to deliver a lot more of council-run activities or functions within the park, within our own service units, and promote the use of the park. So they're the four recommendations, councillors, I've put up to you this evening. Again, it's a trial for 12 months and see how we go. And we'll continue to work with the users within that park and the community to get the activation. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Councillor Turner.
Yeah, I'd just like to ask a couple of questions, Mr. Heaney, please. With the hire of the venue, will that still be available to the public for functions and weddings and things?
Yep, the facilities will still be available. It won't be exclusive use, so that will still be there. We'll obviously need to monitor that. And we'll still need to have specific times at the park, like for Australia Day, that the council will have its main activities there. And it'll still be available for general community to access. It's really about more activation to green space. It would be great if we can get more activation into the homestead itself so the community can have a look at that. But at least by opening the gates, I suppose it'll give the community the first look at, especially the homestead, and then the priority is with us to try and do a lot more than just look at the externals, to try and get it open a lot more than the 2 hours it is at the moment.
Councillors, any other further questions in regards to this item? Mr. Heaney, just a question. Although it's not included in the recommendation, but will a final report be delivered to council once the 12 months is up in regards to the take-up of the usage, etc.?
Yes, Madam Mayor, the proposal is that it'll probably just be before 12 months. We'll take that to a council briefing. No doubt you'll hear more about that before the 12 months, good or bad. Hopefully all good. And then its proposal will come back to you with our recommendation forward.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Councillors, any other further questions? Do I have a mover for this notice of motion?
And I would have killed anyone that stood up before me. I'd like to move this, and I'd like to say a great thank you to the officers. I know it was a very hard notice of motion, and that's why it's taken a while to get here, but I know that you've done your due diligence and put a lot of work into it. And I'd also look forward to seeing this fantastic facility of ours being utilised to its full potential and hopefully a positive outcome, and encourage everyone to get out there and use it.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Do I have a councillor to second the notice of motion?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to second this, and in doing so, just say that we have seen the area regenerated over the last few years, and it's been really good to see the baby steps, and this is just the next step. And I really believe the Willows is the jewel in the crown, and it could be a fantastic venue. We had an event there just a few weeks ago, Jazz in the Park, and a few people that are here today in the audience were there. And it was a fantastic day. The weather was perfect, and it was the not that I'm an aficionado of jazz, but it was just a fantastic venue for that day. It was great.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Thank you, councillors. Moving on to agenda item 12.11, planning application PA 21020/14/4480, amended plans and permit associated with a takeaway food premises at 2/1021-1027 Western Highway, Ravenhall, and this will be presented by Mr. Bob Baggio, Manager for Planning Services. Thank you, Mr. Baggio.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. An existing kebab van currently operates at the frontage of the subject land.
on a number of car parking spaces. The land is located along the Western Freeway. The use actually has a temporary planning permit which expires in 2019. An application has been made to amend the permit and plans by, one, amending condition 4 so that the use can operate from 10 a.m. to 3 a.m. the following day, 7 days a week, and also by placing 2 tables and 8 chairs on the abutting car parking space after 6 p.m. each day. In addition, a plastic screen will be placed to provide some weather protection for the tables and chairs. The application was advertised and resulted in 2 objections being received. The grounds of objection generally relate to things like concerns about adverse amenity impacts in terms of noise, litter and odour, that the tables and chairs will affect available car parking and create subsequent overflow of car parking, hygiene and health concerns relating to the operation of the kebab shop, and concerns that the structure is unsightly and the addition of tables and chairs will make it even more so. Essentially, from an officer perspective, it's considered that the proposed changes are relatively minor and should be supported by council. The use generally operates late at night when other businesses nearby are closed. The use appears to be well run, with no complaints being received by council in the time that it's been operating. And the concerns about increased amenity impacts seem to be unsubstantiated from council officers' perspective. It's therefore recommended that a notice of decision be issued and the amended plan approved as recommended. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Veggio. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? I do have one question, Mr. Veggio. Do we know if the table and chairs are currently being used, which is outside their permit currently?
Through you, Madam Mayor. I'm not aware. We haven't had complaints. Council officers haven't had complaints at this stage that the tables and chairs are currently being used by the operator.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Councillors, any other questions? Do I have a councillor to move this notice of motion? Councillor Diamond.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to suggest an alternate resolution for this motion, and the resolution shall read that Council issue a notice of refusal to amend a planning permit on the following grounds. 1. The addition of tables and chairs will intensify the use to the extent that it is no longer just a takeaway food premises, which is considered inappropriate in the context of this locality. 2. The tables and chairs will encourage more people to congregate in the area late at night, which has the potential to create safety and security issues. 3. The proposal has the potential to detrimentally affect the visual amenity of the area. And 4, the siting of the tables and chairs within the car park has potential to create safety conflicts between customers and vehicles using the area. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Does any councillor require any clarification or questions in regards to the alternative notice of motion? Do I have a councillor to second the alternative notice of motion? I'm happy to rise and second the alternative notice of motion. Does any councillor oppose the alternative notice of motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the alternative notice of motion carried. Item number 12.12, planning application PA2016/5118, use of land for refuse disposal, buildings and works and native vegetation removal, presented by Bob Baggio, Manager for Planning Services. Thank you, Mr. Baggio.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Council will recall that on the 29th of February this year, Council received an application to, in effect, expand the Melbourne Regional Landfill, which is, I guess, bounded by Hopkins Road and Christie's Road in Truganina. The Council will also recall that a previous planning application to expand for a more significant expansion of the landfill than what's being proposed in the current application was refused back in 2014 by Council. On the 11th of April 2016, a letter directing the application be called in was received by Council. The Minister for Planning considers that the application raises a major issue of policy and that the determination of the application may have a substantial effect on the achievement or development of planning objectives. So a meeting was held on the 19th of April, I guess to officially hand over the application to the Department of Environment, Land, Water and Planning. Officers from the department advised, in terms of the process of the application from here on, Madam Mayor, that joint notice of the application for planning permit and works approval is likely to be for a four-week period. The EPA is intending to conduct a number of information sessions relating to the application for the works approval during the notification period. All submissions received, and that includes the council's submission to the application, will be referred directly to the planning panel for its consideration. The panel will then organise a directions hearing to discuss and determine with the submitters the conduct of the future hearing. The planning panel is likely to occur about 4 weeks after the directions hearing, and at this stage it's predicted that it should run for about 3 weeks, although that could be longer. The panel report is likely to be completed and referred to the Minister for Planning about 8 weeks after the completion of the hearing. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? So, Mr. Baggio, just in regards to clarifying what the likely time, the timeline for this application, do we know roughly when, like what month it will be? Will it be sometime this year, or we just have no idea at this stage?
Through you, Madam Mayor, it's likely that the planning panel will be conducted during the course of this year. But in terms of an actual decision by the Minister, we're not sure at this stage whether it's going to be this year or maybe early next year.
And just another follow-up question. What will be Council's involvement in submitting to the panel?
Through you, Madam Mayor, the Council's involvement will be as a submitter to the application. So during the notification period, the Council will be given an opportunity to make a submission to the application, and then, as I mentioned before, that submission along with the other submissions would be referred directly to the panel for its consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Does any other councillor have any further questions in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to move this item?
I'd like to turn that on and then I'll move that motion. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Do I have a councillor to second the motion?
I'll second it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Item number 13, reports from delegates appointed to other bodies. And I'll start with Councillor Bentley.
Well, thank you, Madam Mayor. This last month period, I attended the Audit Committee, and I would refer to the CEO for the date, but I believe it was last Wednesday, which would be the 27th, if I remember correctly. And we went through a few things where we were looking at making sure the finances were progressing along correctly, and I'd like to report back to Council that everything seems to be going well. Finances are all in check, and we've been doing some internal reviews with regards to governance and a few other things, and there's been some issues that we've picked up, but they are being actioned. So thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, I attended the Arts and Cultural Advisory Committee Membership Assessment Panel meeting, and the minutes were in this evening's agenda, and they were all moved and passed. And could I just say congratulations to the new panel members that were appointed in that recommendation and the new position of a youth advisory member as well.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On the 7th of April, I attended my first Western Melbourne Tourism Board, and this is a very exciting board for me to finally be on. And that was my first one, so I'm looking forward to following up ones. And on the 14th, I attended the Heritage Advisory Committee, and I will talk on that later because of the Heritage Awards. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Had a couple of meetings cancelled, and I attended the Arts and Cultural Advisory Nomination Committee as well with Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillors, I attended the policy review panel, which their minutes have been tabled in tonight's agenda, and may I just thank my fellow councillors for their support in reinstating the Mayoral Charity Fund again in my mayoral year this year. Instead of a mayoral ball, I have chosen to continue on with the Mayoral Charity Grants Fund, and these funds will go back into the community in the form of grants. So I ask that my fellow councillors and members of the gallery to spread the word to any community group that the grants are out to be evaluated sometime in the near future, but that will be on the website and we'll get that word out. And if you know of any businesses that would like to donate to this fund, please let myself and fellow councillors or council staff know. I also attended the Disability Advisory Committee meeting, which the minutes have been tabled in tonight's agenda, but I just wanted to highlight that council will be delivering a photography program for young people aged between 12 to 17 years that live with a disability, and the program will teach participants how to use a camera as well as an opportunity to display their work sometime in July. So that's very exciting. I also attended the Western Base board meeting where the CEO of the Western Base gave us an update on the anchor tenancy as well as the business accelerator program, co-working memberships and the current financial position of the base, which is faring along nicely. We spoke about the successful grant received for the Youth Spark program as well, and we are still waiting for the funding agreement, and the first intake of the program is scheduled for the 1st of August of this year. I also gave the board a brief overview of the Fund Our Future campaign and asked board members to spread the word in their networks and sign the online petition. I also attended the Community Safety Committee, and this was the first meeting we had for the year. We spoke briefly about the terms of reference and also the makeup of the committee, as well as the overview of the Safer City Plan for 2015-2017. I again gave an overview about the Fund Our Future campaign to committee members and encouraged them to sign the online petition. And we had a report on motorbikes in local reserves and potential changes to local laws that councillors and this council will consider sometime in the future. We also had an update on Safer City Day event as well as a police report on crime trends and emerging issues. I also attended the Western Region Mayor's Forum, and the Wyndham Mayor hosted this forum, and the discussion was around the Resilient Melbourne Strategy and how it might apply to each council's future strategic document, as well as the implications that the document should not all the, if not all of the metropolitan councils adopt the strategy in some form. We also spoke about the electoral reforms currently being considered by the Minister for Local Government and how it might affect communities in the upcoming elections, which was on the agenda item on tonight's council agenda. However, at that stage, only myself in Melton had been briefed and the other councillors were not briefed. So there was a lot of talking on my part and a lot of listening on theirs, but we did discuss about the different issues that cropped up in tonight's agenda as well. So thank you, councillors. Moving along to agenda number item 14, councillor representations and acknowledgements, and this is an address from councillors in relation to matters of civic leadership and community representation. This time I'll start off with Councillor Turner.
Thought you might do that, Madam Mayor. Yeah, look, another interesting month. Such a rich society we've got. It's fantastic in Melton. Being a councillor, we're so fortunate to be councillors. We get invited to everything that happens in the town, or the city, sorry, I'll get shot for that. And it's just fantastic. Just a few highlights of the month. On the 6th of the 4th, the school holiday programme at the Rec Centre, run by Margaret Zarafa and her team. Fantastic morning as usual. Also on the same day, we had the Rotary Club of Melton were running their high tea, and myself, I think Councillor Bentley was there, and Councillor Dunn. And it was the high tea for the McGrath Foundation that the Rotary Club run every year. And they're getting to the stage where they're getting that many people now. It's going to be very difficult for them to administer it anymore in bigger sizes. They can't cope with any greater numbers because everything basically is donated on the day and all the money made. It goes straight to the Jim McGrath Foundation. I believe that's a cancer foundation. Also, I attended the Rock Bank and Diggers Rest Community Days, which was an option for council to share with the community the programmes that they have in the plans for the areas, along with a few of the other councils who will, I'm sure will talk about it more than me. Also, I attended... Anzac Days there. You're correct. It's good. She's just keeping me right. It's good. I've got a wife at home that keeps me right all the time. Anyway, I was looking for the Heritage Awards along with Councillor Dunn. We attended the Heritage Awards evening. That was another great night. As I say, there's so much good things happening. On the 17th, along with Madam Mayor, we attended the Hindu New Year Festival. It's the Salah Park in Deer Park, which is a yearly festival there. It's always a great morning. We couldn't stay long because we had to leave there to go to the Anzac March along with the other councillors in Caroline Springs. The Anzac Day here was just fantastic. We had the dawn service followed by the Anzac Day March, and they were both fantastic considering the number of local schools that came out as well to join us all to celebrate the day. And in the afternoon we had Anzac's DVD, which was screened free of charge at Reading Cinema, and that was showing the soldiers who had left Melton to go to the war, and it talked about a few of them that had come back and what happened. It was a really good presentation. That's enough for me, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, on the 7th of the 4th, I attended the Western Region Biennial Forum that you spoke about in Hobsons Bay with the guest speaker, Tim Pallas. On the 17th of the 4th, I attended the Caroline Springs Anzac March. And can I say that it's getting bigger? This is the second year, I think it is, and there was more residents there, which was great to see. On the 25th of the 4th, the Caroline Springs Dawn Service, which was absolutely beautiful and touching. And again, the crowd seemed to be increasing there. On the 28th of the 4th, I attended with Councillor Cugliari the Local Area Traffic Management Study, the LATM, for Taylor's Hill. And on the 30th of the 4th, weekend just passed, I popped into the community event in Rockbank. Community event in Diggers Rest, My City, My Say. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Bentley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Finally, Madam Mayor. Finally. And I'm not talking about my fellow councillors talking too long. I'm talking that after 50 years, we are finally getting the duplication of the Melton line. So it's fantastic to see that in this year's state budget, it has been budgeted for that we are duplicating from Melton or Deer Park through to Melton, and the service will be increased. So, as I've discussed with Alan many times, about 51 years I think it's been promised to you, Alan, so it's good to see that it'll finally be delivered. In my view, 4 years might be too long till it comes, but it's better than nothing at all. So it's great to see that, and for members of the gallery and my fellow councillors, you won't have to hear me harping on about that every month now. So I'd also like to take the opportunity to commend Councillor Dunn with regards to her notice of motion with regards to the Willows Park and coming to fruition today, because I remember as a little tacker running around that park, it was just as beautiful as it is today, and it's great that we have that piece of history in our town, because we're a town that goes back many years. We're coming now and talking about the growth and that we're having, but we need to remember where we came from. And going through that homestead and seeing those things is a reminder of what pioneers did in Melton and where we come from, and build on that in the future and where we go to. And those values that are Melton were back in Melton when the town was developed. The town, I'll say that one, Bob. The town and what we are now to keep going on. And the last thing I'd like to talk about is Anzac Day. Last Monday was a great day to remember and to reflect. It was great to see at the dawn service so many people turn out to start off with. That last year you thought there would be a huge amount of numbers because it was 100 years from the landing, and this year again there was almost as many people there. Especially the great thing to see was young people. At the dawn service, many people my age and younger in that sort of beyond their teens, great to see them getting out and remembering. And then at the 10 o'clock service, the number of kids who came along to remember and take those values in that are still there, that we remember those who fought and died for our country. And we often think about the Anzacs who landed in Gallipoli, fought on the Western Front, those in World War II. But I got the opportunity to sit down at breakfast, the gunfire breakfast, which I actually found out what that was for the first time. Thought it was just a breakfast, but no. Build up your spirits. And that's just something that the Anzacs had to do, to take a little bit of rum in the morning to build up their spirits to get over that line. That's the sorts of things they were fighting. But I was lucky enough to meet a veteran of Afghanistan and have a chat to him. And it's important to think about, not just remember those in 1915, 1945, but remember those in the 2000s. There's still people fighting and dying for our country and the values that we hold dear. We need to remember those and honour those and say thanks to those who fight and fight for the values that we hold on to. So thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Councillor Dunn.
Always a hard act to follow. I do thank Councillor Bentley for that about the Willows, and it was a beautiful segue into discussing the Heritage Awards that occurred on the 14th. We still do have two vacancies on the Heritage Committee, so please, as Councillor Bentley said, we've got so much history and heritage in our area, and it's only getting older, so keep interested in it and look around and, you know, certainly when Heritage Awards and Heritage Week comes up, become a part of it. During the Heritage Awards, we had a fellow whose name escapes me, but discussed about the dry stone walls, and he patted Council on the back by saying that we're the first municipality in Australia to protect our dry stone walls through an actual strategy. And we do also have the largest volcanic plains in the world. So that's something to really pat ourselves on the back. Well, we haven't done it, but to actually have that in our municipality is something fantastic to have. I attended quite a few things. The Woodley Display Village, which was wow. And if you're bored on an afternoon, take the kids up, and while they're down the slide, run on the flying fox. It's lots of fun. Councillor Turner and myself had a few flies on that. I handed out flyers at the Fund of the Future at the Rockbank Railway Station, and it was a beautiful morning, 7 o'clock, to watch the sunrise and speak to her. And it's funny when you approach people and you say, I've got a petition, their eyes glaze over, and then you say, no, we want to push to duplicate the railway station. All of a sudden they come rushing at you. I attended the Rotary High Tea, which is a fantastic event and huge compared to last year's. The Burnside launch, which I say Burnside because I never can remember the full title of the community centre that's opening, and what a fantastic centre that we've got built there. My City, My Say at Rockbank, always interesting to meet our various characters that live in our neck of the woods. Caroline Springs RSL Anzac March, first time that I've been, and I was having struggles keeping up with our 94-year-old veteran, Alan, who kept in step all the way, and he's a fantastic, lively old man, still looks after himself, lives on his own, looking for a wife that can cook every time I meet him. And I think he'll be around for a long time too. And I just want to sort of highlight that we're heading into winter, so it's getting a little bit colder, as you've probably all noticed, even though we have been having some beautiful days. But nights are getting colder, and there's quite a few associations running, getting blankets for homeless people. And I'd suggest that get onto the website, do a bit of Googling. There's one, and I'm not pushing anything, but there's a Blanket Melbourne that they're wanting people to get onto eBay and purchase a cheap sleeping bag, donate blankets, and to go to our homeless that are actually going to be doing it very tough this winter. We tend to forget when we snuggle up in bed that there's people sleeping out in the elements, and if we can make their life a little bit easier, I think that would be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Councillors, I also attended the Western Region Biannual Forum that Councillor Carley mentioned in Hobsons Bay. This was a great evening to network with fellow Western Region councils. The Treasurer, Tim Pallas, did present on that evening about the future projects in the West, and when asked specifically about Melton, he remained quite tight-lipped at that stage, but stated that Melton residents will be extremely happy with the outcome of the budget. And we now know that we are extremely happy. You could not you can't wipe the smile off my face when I heard the great outcome, the fantastic long-awaited $518 million infrastructure fund for the duplication of the Melton Railway, as well as funding for the Taylors Hill West Secondary site, as well as funding for the Melton Special School and various other projects which I'll actually be discussing further into the agenda. Great outcome for our community, very, very long awaited. I also attended the Melton South Community Centre for the unveiling of the Mosaic Art Workpiece, made up of a collaboration of Melton South residents, local businesses and local schools. It was a great outcome for the community working together and creating a beautiful piece of artwork as a result. I also attended the Combat meeting in Caroline Springs, where local businesses got together and had a bit of a very casual atmosphere to have a chat about their businesses, to talk and network. And I'd like to thank Belinda from Westwaters, who actually hosted this month's Combat. It's on every month, the last Tuesday of every month, so the next meeting will be held at the Western Base here in Melton on the last Tuesday of month, which I believe is the 29th of May. I also presented on the growth and development of Melton as a municipality to the Caroline Springs Rotary Club. Over the past 16 years, as Councillor Bentley has alluded to, it's amazing to see the growth of the area over the years when you compare areas side by side with maps, and they were just in awe of all the future development and all the future infrastructure that Council has to take into consideration. 42 babies being born every week, which is about 2 kindergarten classes every week that we have to consider for future, and also other community facilities. So that was a good eye-opener. I also had the privilege of attending Anzac Day Dawn Service at Caroline Springs, and then the gunfire breakfast at Caroline Springs. Then I shot over to very, very privileged to attend the walk down High Street in Melton, and also attended the later morning, or the 10 o'clock service for the Anzac Day Dawn service at Melton. And it is always a privilege for me to attend, and also a huge privilege to also participate in this service. As Councillor Bentley so eloquently said, it's, you know, the diggers that fought for our freedom, fought for what we have today in Australia to make what Australia is today, and also the current members as well. Hats off to them, and it's a great occasion. It was good to see all the schools out there and all the people coming together. And lastly, I'd like to thank and acknowledge Miss Amy Humpage. This will be her final council chamber meeting. She is attending with us. She is our local journalist from the Melton Leader local newspaper. I believe, Amy, you've been with us for 5.5 years. Thank you for your professionalism during this time. Thank you for writing stories about our community and getting those stories out there. Thank you for working with our council so well and our councillors. You will be greatly missed. We greatly appreciate your hard work. I wish you all the very best for the future, and thank you so much. You will be greatly missed in this chamber every month as well. Thank you, councillors. I turn your attention to item number 15, notices of motion, and I'll just rise for item 15.1, notice of motion 424. I hereby give notice of my intention to move the following motion at the ordinary meeting of council to be held on 2nd of May, that council officers prepare a detailed report to council as to the current procedure in notifying relevant parties that live in the urban and rural areas of the municipality, including commercial business, when a planning application or any major development or a major strategic document is to occur or to be implemented, and that Council considers and reviews how this methodology can be strengthened to ensure all relevant parties are made aware of and notified of any future and major planning applications or major developments or major strategic document implementations to affected stakeholders. Councillors, do I have any councillor who's got a question in regards to this item? Councillor Councillors, do we have a seconder for this notice of motion?
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have a councillor who opposes this motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Item number 15.2, notice of motion 425, Councillor Maidlick, which is myself. I move a notice of motion that Council 1 prepare a report to Council outlining the requirements and costs associating in developing a strategic telecommunications mobile tower placement document for our municipality. 2, include whether this document would help assist Council in becoming more proactive in strengthening Council's position by working together with mobile phone companies in where our community would prefer all future telecommunication mobile towers to be located. And 3, include whether this document would assist Council in strengthening any future planning applications with relevant governing bodies such as VCAT. Councillors, do I have any councillor who requires any further clarification in regards to this item? Do I have a councillor to second this item?
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have any councillor who opposes the item? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. And may I just stand to say a few words. As we've noticed in the past, this is a problem area in regards to mobile telecommunication towers. On one hand, we know that we need them, but on another hand, no one wants it in their backyard. So this is an important document that I hope will be able to work with the telecommunications companies as well as our residents as well as council and try and come up with some happy compromise. So thank you, councillors, for supporting me in this notice of motion. 15.3, notice of motion 426, Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move that council officers provide a report to council regarding the requirements in relation to the width of streets in residential areas, both existing and future, and in relation to the parking on nature strips where the narrow width of streets makes it impractical to park on the road. The report is to include and outline the current practices along with options for council to consider to ensure residents have reasonable and practical opportunities for parking.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a councillor to do I have any councillor who requires any clarification? Do I have a councillor to second this motion?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Do I have any councillor who opposes this motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Councillor Turner, would you like to speak in regards to this notice of motion?
Madam Mayor, this is basically in response to quite a few residents are having challenges parking near their own homes. And I think it's just something that needs to be addressed for some direction, really. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Item number 16, councillors' questions without notice. Do I have a councillor with a question without notice? Councillor Dunn.
Yes, Madam Mayor. I just would like to know, we had a suburb naming committee and we've gone through the whole process of the suburb naming committee, and I was just wondering if we could have an update on that because I know we were having a few problems. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. If I may respond to that question. Council has made a submission to the state government some time ago regarding the renaming of various suburbs throughout the municipality following our long community consultation process. The agency from the state government looking after that has requested that council make a number of amendments to its proposal, particularly regarding the suburb boundaries in the vicinity of the future outer metropolitan ring, which is the reservation effectively that passes through Plumpton. Council will shortly, over the next few weeks, undertake further engagement with the relevant landholders in that vicinity and make a further submission to the state government. I would expect that following the opportunity for those specific residents to have further input regarding those changes, that we would hopefully see some approved new suburb names by the end of this year. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Does any other councillor have a question without notice? Moving along to item 17, does any councillor have a motion without notice? Item number 18, urgent business. I'd like to rise and just mention that I do have urgent business. It's in regards to last week's state budget. As we mentioned, Melton as a municipality received a fantastic outcome for the funding of much anticipated and much needed infrastructure for our community. In light of the timing of the budget, I would like to ask that my fellow councillors support me in thanking the state government in receiving such great news and move that this be considered as urgent business. So I do require that a councillor second that this motion that I've put before you, or this item, sorry, that the item be considered as urgent business. So do I have a councillor to do that?
I'll second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have any councillor who requires any further clarification? Do I have any councillor who opposes this motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. So the urgent business, or the motion, reads, I would like to move that Council write to Premier Daniel Andrews, Treasurer Tim Pallas and local members of Parliament Natalie Hutchins, Don Nardella and Marlene K. Ruse, thanking them on behalf of Melton City Council, the councillors, staff and members of the community for the acknowledgement of the needs of the community of Melton as a significant growth area and the response contained within the 2016-2017 state budget to fund investment projects for our community's future, including duplication of the Melton rail line, $516.7 million over 4 years, upgrade of the car park at Melton Railway Station, 270 additional parking spaces at a cost of $2.4 million, business case for electrification of Melton Rail Line that's funded, growing suburbs fund retained at $50 million, Melton Special School upgrade and relocation to Melton Secondary Site at $5.4 million over 2 years, Taylor's Hill West Secondary School Stage 1, $12 million over 2 years, planning money for Melton West Primary School and Melton Secondary College, and allocation of money for purchase of school sites not yet identified but are in within growth areas, $54 million in 2016-17 and $47 million in 2017-18. Do I have a councillor who would like to second this notice of motion?
I'd love to second that. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have a councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. And can I just make comment that in this year's state budget, it is the best outcome for the Melton residents in the whole 8 years which I have been on council, and it's a great collaboration of all of us coming together as a council and as a community in working together in unity to achieve great results for our community and area. I'd like to thank and acknowledge my fellow councillors for their dedication and hard work over the last four years in working together to advocate the needs of our community. I'd also like to acknowledge past mayors and past councillors. I know that every opportunity we get as councillors, we advocate to our state and federal members of Parliament, but we acknowledge that this cannot be done on our own, and our residents have continually advocated for many years for the projects that I have mentioned. So a big thank you to all our residents as well. Also, council officers, council executive team, there are many, many people to thank. This was a great result in the many years of advocating that this council had made. It's such a wonderful result. I'd like to also thank Melton Leader for getting on board with the Fund Our Future campaign, which was a great advocacy tool that we used for the duplication of our train. I always have said that I will give credit where credit is due, and that's why I thank my fellow councillors in supporting me in this notice of motion under urgent business, as it is a fantastic outcome for our residents, our community and our area. So fingers crossed that we will get just as good of a result in this upcoming federal budget, and I would like to now give any other councillor an opportunity to speak on this matter, because it is such a big I know Councillor Bentley has spoken, but if anyone else wants to speak on this matter, I'm open to that. Councillor Turner.
That's better. Yes, Madam Mayor, I applaud what you're saying. It's a massive win for the City of Melton and for the work that's been done over the last few years behind the scenes, a lot of which the community doesn't see. I was just over the moon when I heard it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Councillors, anyone else would like to speak? Moving on to, is there any other urgent business under item 18? Councillor Turner.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to have some urgent business considered for tonight regarding the police numbers in the City of Melton. I'd like to be permitted to move a motion.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a seconder to move that this item be considered as urgent
business? Considered as urgent business.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Does any councillor oppose? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the item as urgent business. Councillor Turner, I'll hand it over to you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move the City of Melton right to the Chief Commissioner of Victoria and the State Government Minister for Police, seeking an indication as to the numbers, the police numbers in the City of Melton, and seeking support for increased numbers as it's becoming a major problem within our city in our rapidly growing municipality.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Does any councillor require any clarification on this item? Do I have a councillor to second this item?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. Does any councillor oppose this motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Councillors, moving to item number 19, confidential business, and we have a procedural motion here before us. If a councillor would like to move that procedural motion. Thank you, Councillor Dunn.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that pursuant to Section 89/2 of the Local Government Act 1989 that the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports that are considered confidential for the reasons indicated, and that would be 19.1 Regional Kitchen Proposed Business Model, 19.2 Contract Extension, 19.3 Contract of Employment.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Do I have a councillor to second the motion?
I'll second it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have any councillors who oppose? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I declare the motion carried. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your attention and for joining us here this evening. Please help yourself to some refreshments outside, and please keep warm and take care and drive safely. Thank you and have a good evening.